it is Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Welcome into the Thursday edition. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. The first Robbie and Rex Road of 2025. Happy New Year, folks. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Thursday morning. Hope everybody has had a wonderful New Year, a wonderful holiday season. Glad to be back at it this morning. Joe Rex Road, how we doing? What's going on?
Doing so awesome, man. And, you know, happy 25. It's funny. Speaking of 25, my back left tire has gone from 33 to 25 when I came in the house. It was at 25. So now the question is, when I get done with the show in 3 hours, what will it be? Maybe we could do a contest.
Will it be at zero? I mean, that's another question that we should throw out there. Will there be any PSI whatsoever?
I mean, should I wake up Katie and say, please take this to Discount Tire ASAP? I could.
I'm sure a great way to start 2025 for Katie as well, if that's the way for you to do it.
Wouldn't that be fun?
Need something for you to do. Keyser, how we doing? What's going on?
Good morning, fellas. Happy New Year. And Joe, I mean, hey, man, you could get her to go do it for you. I mean, I know that my wife has some errands, but they are certainly not for any of my pleasure. That's for sure.
They're not. But that's okay.
So should I or shouldn't I?
I mean, what time is this place open, I guess, is the other question.
I don't know. I'm not sure. Probably now. It's probably open now.
Okay. All right.
I'll check on that.
I mean, I'm all
anybody
for
out
it.
There have any?
Because it could also end up in total disaster for you, which in some ways I'm kind of here for as well.
Well, actually, why don't we have Nick call her on the guest line?
Yeah.
And then it's not really me.
That's right.
You know, what do you think? You try that?
Keyser, get on that.
Hey, I have a flat tire.
Call Kuharsky to call her, and then we can really get in there.
Oh, man.
There you go. Yeah. She's always said she wants to do a Rex rant, and I'm like, well, you know, come on. So we could call her up, and she would have a good one from this.
She would. No doubt about that. We got a lot to get into on the program today. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports will be with us at 8 o'clock. We'll get into all things NFL with him. The Nashville Predators, after going 4-1-1 before the Christmas break, have now come out of the Christmas break and have lost 3 in a row, all against Central Division opponents. So kind of feels like it just kind of is what it is with them. And we'll get into that a little bit in the 7 o'clock hour. Best and worst things in sports coming up later this hour at 6:45. Joe, we begin with the college football playoff. And it's been an interesting quarterfinal round here. Penn State, Boise State was mildly competitive. And then Penn State kind of pulls away at the end. They win 31-14. Ohio State just totally bludgeons Oregon, and that final score in that game ends up being closer than it actually was. If you watch, it was 34-0 at one point for Ohio State. And then the game of the playoffs so far, Texas and Arizona State in double overtime. Texas able to win 39-31. They were down to their last down and end up scoring a touchdown on that play and end up winning in the next overtime sequence there, 39-31. And then, of course, no game has been played yet between Notre Dame and Georgia. That one's coming later this afternoon at 3 o'clock our time after the horrific attack in New Orleans as well. So, Joe, what have you made of the quarterfinal round of the college football playoff to this point?
Yeah, well, the one game that I think I said it last week, this is probably the one that I think is probably the blowout of the four, which was Texas Arizona State. So excellent analysis by me as always. That was a great game. Yeah, I guess the final score probably ended up being about right. I think Penn State could have dominated that game, and they messed around. I really didn't understand what they were doing in that game, but great job defensively against Ash and Genty. That's a very talented team, Penn State is. So Penn State and the winner of tonight, interesting, of course, we have Ohio State, Texas in the Cotton Bowl. So Ohio State probably gets basically a de facto road game now. But, look, I mean, that's biggest takeaway from the whole thing right now is there you go. I mean, it's the most talented team. You know, Jeremiah Smith is absolutely ridiculous. And I think if he was draft eligible, he'd be a top five pick this year as a freshman. And, I mean, how many people can you really say that about? Here and there, there's been guys, you know, but usually true freshmen, like they're a little too skinny or whatever. You might see it like, okay, someday that guy's going to be unbelievable, right? I mean, Adrian Peterson as a freshman would be an example that comes to mind. Like, holy crap, that guy could be in the league right now. I don't know that I can remember someone who was so clearly ready as a freshman. Like, not just the physicality, but, like, he is a technician at receiver. It's ridiculous. And I just – they are scary right now, man. And so I know you were texting a little bit about the Vols. Vols should feel better, although the Vols should also be ticked off all over again that they got sent to Ohio State. And Oregon. Oregon is the one seed. And, again, this is part of my problem with this whole thing. Oregon's the one seed, and they're the only undefeated team, and they don't even get the benefit of getting to play that game at home. You know, I mean, that, in the future, that game needs to be in Eugene, Oregon. I mean, that's just how it should be, but I don't know that it would have mattered anyway, the way Ohio State's playing right now.
Well, I mean, Ohio State looks like they're far and away the best team in the country right now, which continues to make the Michigan game just completely confounding when you go back and look at it. But, I mean, I'm watching that game, and by the time it was 21-0 or whatever it was, I looked over at Heather, and I was like, well, I feel a lot better about the way that game for Tennessee went last week, a whole lot better. I mean, Jeremiah Smith is unbelievable. He had 7 catches for 187 yards and 2 touchdowns. And Joe, it felt like if they wanted to, they could have thrown him the ball every play and it would have worked. It was unbelievable. Whether he was covered, uncovered, whatever it was, he was making the catch every time. And he is unbelievable. And to think about him having to play college football for 2 more years and people having to deal with that, that's going to be fun for everybody, I'm sure, in the Big Ten. I mean, look, I'll be honest with you, I caught a very limited amount of the ReliaQuest Bowl as well this weekend, Joe. And, like, Ryan Williams made a couple plays where I'm just like, I think these two kids might be the best wide receivers in all of college football. And they're both, you know, one of them's not – I don't even know if Williams is 18 yet, and Jeremiah Smith is 19 years old.
Yeah. It's, you know, a really interesting thing with them moving forward. Of course, everybody remembers Ja'Marr Chase, you know, opted out of his third year. And just in anticipation for the draft, but that was a different time.
Yeah,
you know, now it's like, hey, Jeremiah, how about, you know, $3 million to play this year? I had a little bit back and forth on Twitter yesterday, like, kind of joking, like, should he opt out of his last 2 years? You know, but of course, that's millions of dollars that you're giving up for not playing,
right?
But his second year, or, you know, like his third year, the second of those 2 years. You know, you still, like, if he were the top pick in the 2027 draft, and I absolutely believe, you know, of course, you figure it's very likely could be a quarterback, but sometimes it's not a quarterback at the top of the draft, and he is the type of guy who could be one, you know, pick round one, pick one, and that's, you know, that's going to be about $9 million in your first year of your rookie deal, you know, so that's going to be interesting, but at the same time, I mean, to me, it's like you got to command a lot of money to play these next 2 years. And, yeah, it's going to be – I mean, good luck to everybody out there with those two guys. It's really amazing that both of them came in the same year as true freshmen.
It really is. What did you make of Texas-Arizona State? Kind of a wild one there, especially towards the end. Cam Scataboo on the ground, 2 touchdowns. Maybe the play that changed the game was his passing touchdown through the air, and they were one down away, Arizona State, from locking it up and moving on, and Texas comes through in the clutch there, scores the touchdown, immediately scores the touchdown on the next play in the beginning of the second overtime, and they walk away with the 39-31 win.
Incredible game. Really dominated by Arizona State. Texas has the punt return and the couple quick plays early, but Arizona State's defense really dominated that game. And then at the end, man, 4th and 13, and Arizona State shows a sellout blitz, a cover zero, and then there's a timeout, and they show it again, and they bring it. And I said before the snap, you got to back somebody out of there. And, you know, they beat it. And Quinn Ewers, give him credit, man. He wasn't great yesterday, and he often isn't, but I would say he answered a few things yesterday with what he did at the end of that game. So great win for the Big 12 over the Pac-12.
Yes.
I'm sorry, for the SEC over the Big 12. Yes, that's right. Yes. But seriously, the SEC, like you said, just horrific attack in New Orleans, of course, is why the Sugar Bowl is today. Yeah, very close, because we'll see. I think Notre Dame's going to win today. We'll see. But if so, you know, we would have been very close to a Final Four with no SEC.
Yep, absolutely. And again, we'll see what comes of that one today. Notre Dame and Georgia at 3 o'clock local time here today. You know, it's been a rough go of things for the SEC in the bowl season, too, other than, you know, Shane Beamer almost getting squashed by Brett Bielema the other day, which I was heavily rooting for, which was probably my favorite moment of the college football postseason to this point. It's not gone well for the SEC, including Jalen Milroe in Alabama. I'll say this. You know, we're going to talk a lot about, you know, Titans quarterback options moving forward. I don't know that Milroe needs to be one in general. Like, he probably needs to come back to college football. That's my kind of opinion on it. I just don't know that there's been a whole lot of growth in his game this year, and I don't know where he's going to – you know, project as it comes to the draft and when people really dig into this over the next few weeks here. But another game on, I guess, when was that? Tuesday. I'm getting my days mixed up. I think it was Tuesday.
I think that's right.
Another game on Tuesday from him, Joe, where I'm just like, yeah, I just don't know that he's NFL ready right now.
No, I think he's regressed. He's played terrible for the most part later in the year. I don't understand it. I mean, it makes me a little concerned about Kalen DeBoer, because I actually thought, based on what we saw from Milroe last year, okay, now you bring DeBoer in, look at like what they did with Penix last year, you know, and that offense. I mean, that, you know, that's going to be great. And at times this year, I thought it looked that way a little bit, but I don't know what's happened. But he doesn't look anything close to an NFL quarterback right now. Just the lateness and the mistakes. I agree. I think he should come back. Now, Alabama fans are like, okay, come back, but not to us.
Yeah, seriously. You know? Like, he might have to enter the portal.
Yeah, that's going to be a fascinating thing. I just can't – I don't see him going earlier than, like, the third or fourth round. If that's the case, again, then I would be advising him to really think about another year of college football. He's absolutely not ready. Something this year has messed him up, and maybe it's DeBoer, you know, asking too much or not, just not, I don't know. But this should have been something that made him progress and get closer, and instead he's farther away.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. We're off and running today on Robbie and Rex Row, taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Speaking of quarterbacks, an interesting strategy this week for Brian Callahan and the Titans. We'll get into some of that coming up next. Best and worst things in sports later this hour at 6:45. All that coming up. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
Decision, Brian, on who's starting at quarterback and how have you figured out how you want to divvy up the play time?
Yeah, I got a pretty good feel for it. I'll let you guys know at the end of the week once we get through practice, but they're splitting reps evenly right now, so they'll both be prepared and both be ready to play.
How did the team respond, you know, when you made the announcement to them?
Normal, you know. I think they all understand that we're, you know, letting those guys have a chance to compete and play, and they both have earned opportunities to play some more, and so I wanted to make sure they both had it.
That's Brian Callahan discussing the plan at quarterback this week for the season finale for the Titans against the Houston Texans. They'll be wearing those beautiful Houston Oilers / Tennessee Oilers uniforms in a highly anticipated matchup coming up this weekend, Joe. Splitting reps evenly at quarterback right now between Mason Rudolph and Will Levis. Feels like both of them are going to play. Interested to see what that looks like in this highly anticipated matchup against Houston this weekend, Joe. Your thoughts on the quarterback position, how this has been handled by Brian Callahan and his staff, and the ending point that we've ended up here with, Joe, where it kind of feels like both of them in Mason Rudolph and Will Levis could play this weekend against Houston.
Yeah, it's weird. It's pretty weird, dude. I don't know. I've tried to like figure out I think the most explanation was right in that soundbite we played, which was, you know, fair to both of them. And he said compete. It's like, well, it's the last game of the year. So, and they're, there's no more competing. I mean, there's no evaluation after this game other than thank you. Okay, Mason, you win. All right, have a good vacation, guys. We'll see you later. You know, like there's no
Mason. You get to tee off first on hole one in the offseason. Yeah. Will, you have to be second.
Will you carry his bags? Yeah. So a couple things came to mind. One is this like, because again, the tanking thing, remember, you start in the locker room, double middles from every single guy in the locker room, right? Look, if you're this coaching staff, I think you'd like to win this game. I mean, I understand now you'd like to win this game, but also, you know, if you're the front office, like, whoo boy, number two pick sounds a lot better than the number eight pick or whatever it would be, right? What is the most likely?
I think you can drop to seven.
Seven is the most?
Yeah.
Seven is the lowest? Okay.
I think
or
so.
The high, whatever. Yeah. Lowest. You know, if you're the front office, I mean, you have to, right? Like, you have to be thinking that. So, so one thing that came to mind, and this is conspiracy-ish of me, is like, is this like a way to, like, you know, trip them up without, like, you know, without withholding players? I don't think that's what it is, but it did come to mind.
Honestly, I hope that's what it is. I really do. Like, yeah. Because I'm with you. Like, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me that you've – I mean, look, you benched Will Levis a couple weeks ago, and it was kind of your referendum on, okay, you're done with Will Levis, and we talked a lot about that. And then the last 2 weeks, I mean, Rudolph has been – I don't know that he's been horrendous, but he's not been good. Like, it's not been good quarterback play. Like, you know, he's missing throws the other day in Jacksonville toward the end of the game that you need NFL quarterbacks to be able to hit. So, like, I understand that he's not played well here, but you've already made your decision on Will Levis. So it kind of leads back to a couple things here. Like, if it's not like this is some grand revelation on Mason Rudolph that we've seen the last 2 weeks here. We know what he is and what he's been in his career. So, like, did you not expect that when he was playing quarterback? Why would you go back to Levis now? Like, or like, why would you ever stop playing him to begin with? Like, even if you made your decision on him, I've always thought it made more sense to just play him at that point.
Yeah, exactly. I know for sure. So the other thing that came to mind. So first of all, I totally agree. Like, they just should have stuck with Levis. Been saying it the whole time. It's like, you know, just go with him through the year. You know, Mason Rudolph's a backup quarterback in the NFL. He's had some decent stretches in here. He had some good moments the other day too. But yeah, then he misses those stretches. Like, there you go. The other thing that came to mind is, like, I guess, first of all, when sitting Levis to me is definitely, and some of the stuff that's come out is definitely to me part of, like, you know, look, this season could have been a lot different. This is where you look first. Okay. I do you wonder, because Levis, I think, absolutely could still be on this team next year. If they go the veteran quarterback route, you know, then I think Levis is the most likely QB too. You know, if they go the veteran quarterback route and then they're drafting elsewhere, they're drafting an edge or whatever with their first round pick, a Travis Hunter, whatever it may be, then I think Levis as QB2 is the most, he's under contract for next year. So is it a little bit of, like, you know, olive branch to him to, like, hey, you know, you're still part of this organization, go out there, try to go out on a good note and go into the offseason with the possibility that, you know, they're going to need him to be, they're going to need him to keep getting better if that's the case. They may need him to start games next year if that's the case. They want to have as, you know, as good a feeling as possible with him going into the offseason in the event that he is a key part of their quarterback room next year.
Maybe so. I mean, if you're him, like, that probably needs to be your approach anyway, because, like, you're not going anywhere else and being a starter right now. So
right.
You better get as better as you can, right? Like, you better be focused this offseason on improving as much as humanly possible. But I'm with you. Like, you know, look, I think people are just assuming that the Titans are just washing their hands of Will Levis after this year. And they are, in my opinion, in terms of him being a future starting quarterback for them. But, I mean, it's still, you know, contractually make some sense to have him around and on the team and in camp next year, unless you can find, I guess, a trade partner for him, which I don't know what that's going to look like this offseason. So, you know, I think that does make some sense here. I just look at it. I look at this whole thing, and if this goes the way that we think it's going to go, and we, again, you know, we're a few days away from finding out. You always have to leave some room with this owner for change, so I get that. But if it goes the way that I think it's going to go and Callahan's back next year, I understand everything you said about the locker room and the double middles that they would give if you're trying to lose this game. I totally get, and I totally think is valid. I'm doing everything I can to make this as easy as possible of a game to lose if I'm Brian Callahan and this staff. Like, it just, it's such a big difference draft-wise where you are right now and where you could be if you end up winning this game. That could be, in my mind, very detrimental to this organization if it goes that way.
Agree, if you're Brian Callahan and you know with certainty you're coming back.
For sure.
Right? Does he? Like, has Amy, you know, sent him a little text, like a smiley face emoji, like, see you next year. You know, see you at the potluck in February, you know? I don't know. Like, if you know that, you know, beyond, like, the Titans whispering it to some reporters that yeah, nothing's going to change, then I'm with you. If you don't 100% know that, and I'm him, I'm like, I don't want, you know, definitely don't want to come out here in these uniforms and get embarrassed by that team in front of our owner.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's a really interesting spot. And again, like, that's the other thing. Like, he could think that he knows it, and then things could change on Monday and Tuesday. And that's how things work in this league sometimes, yeah, too. Like, it's a wild process. So I get it. It's more complicated than just looking at the draft status as we in the media do, or if you're a fan. Like, if you're a fan looking at this game right now, with it getting to this point at 3-13, like, is there a single Titans fan out there that's like, yes, please God, win this game on Sunday? Like, I don't think very many of those people exist right now.
No, I think some people, I've heard this, and I get this. It's like, you're like, you know the team should lose, and then you get out there, and they're playing the freaking Texans, who you hate,
right?
And you're like, I just can't do it. Beat the freaking, right? Like, so there's some of that. But for the most part, yeah, it's like a head and heart thing. And the head definitely says, absolutely find a way to lose this freaking game.
So what do you make of the way the Titans have handled the quarterback position with Mason Rudolph and Will Levis? Who should play in the season finale against Houston? We'll take your thoughts on more of that coming up next, and your thoughts on the idea of the Titans somehow finding a way to win this game and ruining where they're at in the draft process right now. We'll get more into that as well. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Tune in to 93.3 FM Totally Hits Nashville tonight for MTSU men's basketball. The Blue Raiders taking on FIU at the Murphy Center. Tip-off at 6 o'clock, pregame beginning at 5:30. Coverage also available on the Totally Hits Nashville app and at TotallyHitsNashville.com. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios. Home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Taking your thoughts on the Titans on our phone and text lines. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We'll have the best and worst things in sports coming up here in about 13 minutes or so at 6:45. Taking your thoughts on the Titans. So, Joe, we pointed out kind of the possibilities here for this game against Houston coming up on Sunday. Number one, interested to see who's playing quarterback, the deployment of what it looks like if both of them are playing. Like, are they alternating series? Does one get one quarter? Does one get the other? I'm interested to see what that looks like this weekend. But as multiple people have pointed out, you could go from the second overall pick to anywhere down to seventh if you win this game this weekend. Now, of course, it's not automatically you're either second or seventh. I mean, they could be as high as one at the end of the weekend. They can end up four or five. It depends on some of the results elsewhere as well. But Mike Herndon from PaulKuharski.com has pointed out that if it's worst-case scenario, Joe, and they go from the second overall pick and they drop down to seventh, which is a five-slot drop, on all those trade charts, you know, the Jimmy Johnson draft chart and all that stuff, it's equivalent to the value of the 14th overall pick in the draft if you slide that far. That seems like a pretty big deal to me, Joe Rexroth. And again, that's worst-case scenario. It wouldn't be guaranteed to play it out that way. But that is not really something I'm interested in if I'm a Titans fan, having set through this entire mess this year at 3-13.
Yeah, that doesn't sound great. No question about it. There's a huge difference. So Mike from PA on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHigh.com, says, you know, call up Trevor Siemian, start him. Then you'd make it very clear what you're doing. Someone else on the text line says, this is absolutely the tanking thing. He just can't say it out loud. Now, one thing he did say out loud, Robbie, is he said that if one of them is playing well, this is what he said yesterday, you know, they're not going to take that guy out, right?
Yeah.
So I said to the texter, I said, look, so if if one of them leads a touchdown drive and then they switch out, then I know this is a fank all the way. It's a fank. The texter said, I hope anytime one of them makes a play over 10 yards, you immediately swap them out. All right, get out of there. That was a good throw.
It's too good.
Get your butt out of here. Yeah, get out of there. Come on. Well, remember that little when you tried to bowl that one week? You know, just saying. Maybe this is the week you get turkey, you know, three straight strikes in the 10th frame.
Wow.
Yeah. How about that?
If there's ever a week for Miracle Flip Part 2, this is the one.
Exactly. So it's going to be really interesting. I don't know, man. It's hard for me to buy that, like, this is actually the concoction, you know? Like, it's actually, like, this master plan. Honestly, like, if I found out, because I hear what you're saying, like, I hope that's what it is, rather than whatever else the explanation would be. But, like, if it's true, like, that, like, they all huddle up, like, Rand and Brinker and Callahan and say, well, how about we do, like, a 2QB thing and then maybe they will really suck and lose? I think then I would actually like to clean house.
Yeah, I don't know.
That might be the last straw for me for cleaning house. Yeah. I might join the clean house team.
I mean, it doesn't sound great. There's no doubt about that. But, like, I mean, at this point, I mean, you're 3-13. Like, I hear you on the – on the Callahan stuff too. Like, if you're not for sure you're coming back next year, like, you're doing all you can to win this game. And I realize, for whatever reason, this game against this team in these jerseys is going to be a big deal to this owner. And Kuharski wrote a nice piece at paulkuharski.com basically explaining every reason why it shouldn't be to Amy Adams Strunk and to hope that she heeds that. And I think that speaks for a lot of Titans fans this week. But, like, let's say you win. It's like, okay, so you're 4-13. Like, does that change anything at all? Like, does that change the way that you view the coaching staff, the front office, with a win against Houston? Maybe it does. Like, maybe with this owner, you get to the end of this, like, well, it was pretty bad, but you did sweep the Houston Texans this year, so you just march right on. I don't know. But, like, I don't know how everybody in that building right now that's not a player and is not out there, and I realize that's the most important thing, but if you're Callahan, if you're Carthon, if you're members of that front office, the coaching staff, and you're trying for the best path forward out of this, like, winning the game doesn't change much to me. But what about the franchise? Like, you're in a better position long-term if you lose this thing and you've got more options, even if it's not resulting in a quarterback that you're drafting this offseason, even if it's an opportunity to trade out or to draft Abdul Carter or whatever it is. Like, you're just in a much better spot if you lose this game with your franchise.
No question. I mean, if they win this game, I mean, Amy may be happy, but the fan base will be more upset. So it's like, so we've gone through all this crap, and because of it, there's an opportunity to maybe get a franchise-changing player, and you just blew that too with a completely meaningless loss. I mean, people are going to be furious, you know, which is, I called it the other day. I'm sticking with it. I think they're going to win. Look, again, these players, I promise you, they absolutely love the idea of screwing this up. They absolutely love it.
Yeah.
Every single player in that locker room, I promise you, they're talking about it. Like, screw it. They're talking about this draft pick. Stick it up there. I mean, seriously, that is so, you know, it doesn't mean that they'll actually win the game, but then it's like also on the other side, you know, who are you playing and all that stuff? And we know that, what, is it Davis Mills? They confirmed.
I have not seen any confirmation. I have not looked overly hard either at the Houston Texans this week either. So that could be on me.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, no, it's, I commend you for that.
Thank you.
You know, it's like, I thought that was actually interesting. You know, if you saw the Dan Campbell presser after the win over the Niners, because a lot of people, including me, are saying, well, what are you doing? You're going to go out here and try to win this game. It's so important, even though it actually means nothing. But, you know, he had a good point, which is like, you know, if you're not sure what's going to happen, because if your Packers would have won, then that game would have been for everything for the Lions, right?
Yeah.
You're practicing all week. Now, this is different than the Texans, but there's still, it's like basically there's six guys you can sit. Who do you sit? And you're telling all the other guys, you're not quite good enough. You go out there and play and put yourself in jeopardy. We're going to sit these special guys out, you know. Now, I understand quarterback's a little different. And then if you're preparing all week, I mean, it's not like it's as easy. You can't just sit there and change out your team and play nobody. But what is the Texans' mentality, you know, this week for in a game that means nothing to them. I mean, yeah. I'm sure they probably are like, screw you. They beat us. The fact that the Titans beat them the first time probably in some way, I would think, maybe helps the Titans lose this game.
Yeah, maybe so.
Because maybe they, you know.
Well, the other part is, like, Houston's not playing well. Like, they look bad. Yeah. So, like, do they really want to take another week off with some of their key players and head into the playoffs not having really played well of late? I realize that there is a huge injury risk when you do that. And you know, sometimes that's just the bottom line, and that outweighs everything. But Houston has not played good football lately. So I wonder if they view this last week of the regular season as an opportunity to maybe generate some sort of momentum, particularly on the offensive side of the ball.
Well, but the only way that's happening is if you play Stroud, right?
I agree.
I mean, other than that, so, yeah. Well, then rejoice, Titans Nation, because you're going to lose. Texter says, loser mentality. How do you play 16 games and not know who to start in the 17th? If nothing else, this proves what a fraud Cali is. Greg Roberts says, hand the ball to Levis and tell him, go do you. So there, that is, but they're not doing that. They're doing the combo. Cam says, this is both guys' last chance to make any impression to stay next season. Preseason type of approach, which I'm perfectly okay with as long as we lose. Yeah, I don't know, man.
What decisions have yet to be made on Mason Rudolph or Will Levis that you need to find out in this game?
Here we go. This is it, guys. The last evaluation. I do absolutely think Levis, decent chance, pretty good chance that he's on this team next year. And is my guess is QB2 behind whatever veteran they can manage to, you know, scrounge out of the ether, you know. But you know, this game I don't think is going to determine that. Like, they've got a lot of data on him, and the same with Rudolph. Rudolph is a QB2 somewhere next year.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that the opinion of either quarterback changes really at all based on this game coming up on Sunday. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Time for the best and worst things in sports. We'll take your best things, your worst things for this week in sports next here on the program. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game.
The best and worst of the sports week, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
On ESPN.
1025 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
This is the worst. You look like you're feeling sorry for yourself.
I believe in miracles. Yes! Unbelievable.
He's one of one. He is him.
This is a Coke bottle. It's not a crystal ball.
When I woke up this morning, I was feeling pretty dangerous.
Okay, let's go.
It is time for the best and worst things in sports. We'll take your best things, your worst things on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Joe Rex Road, kick us off with your best and worst things in the world of sports.
Well, you said it earlier, and I hope I'm not stealing this from you, Robbie. We can share it, but I mean, I'm sorry. Like, my best thing is Shane Beamer losing his freaking mind and then Brett Bielema laughing at him across the way. Truly an amazing moment in college sports history. For anybody who didn't see it, I mean, Bielema looked like he was taunting Beamer for what Beamer had been doing earlier, complaining about Illinois and this, you know, slow, late substituting on defense, which, by the way, does need to be addressed. Everybody's doing this now, and it's annoying because, you know, officials have to let the defense sub if the offense subs, and so, like, they're taking their sweet time, and it's, you know, it's got to be addressed. But anyway, the whole thing was amazing, right down to, like, Beamer sort of, like, being, oh, gosh, and just hugging him after the game because he knew that he'd stuff him in a trash can if he didn't do that. Truly, truly amazing stuff and some fantastic memes.
Just an adult-sized baby.
my worst is, you know, I think I'm taked out on college sports. I mean, I'll keep giving takes, but like, guys, like, every single thing that happens doesn't mean, like, you know, Penn State did a great job against Ashton Gentry. Oh, he's not an NFL back. Okay. You know, whatever. Oregon, I know people were joking, but it's like, well, Oregon shouldn't have been in the playoff. They got blown out. You know, like, but like, there's a lot of serious, like, whatever happens in the playoff now means that this is now, we must now, it must be a referendum on, like, who was in the field and everything. Again, I'm going to go back to, like, my entire childhood of every Super Bowl was a complete bleep show, like, 40-point win. So, I guess, like, that team shouldn't have been in the playoffs. I'm just done with all of it.
There you go, Nick Kieser, your best and worst things in the world of sports.
Yep, after intently watching both the Peach Bowl and the Rose Bowl yesterday, I think I was most impressed with Cam Scataboo. I mean, that guy was electric. I mean, I think he had over 143 rushing yards. I know he had two touchdowns for sure. And, I mean, the guy, I don't know if you guys caught this on the broadcast, he was sick on the sideline. I mean, just wild to me that he was able to recoup and then continue to play the way that he did. Offensive MVP of the Peach Bowl. Super awesome to see him play that well. Great story for them. And they were sanctioned just a few years ago. I mean, it's crazy to think about that program and how far they came and what they did to kind of force overtime there. That was absolute craziness over there down in Atlanta yesterday. And then the worst, guys, slew footing. We've got to just throw this out here. People don't get it. I mean, look, if you take someone's feet out from underneath them, that is a slew foot, and they go into the wall. The guy is going to get something, and whether it's one or two games, Zach deserves it. I mean, that was a terrible, yeah, terrible decision by him. And so, yes, there is the history. Yes, there is what happened previously in his career. It doesn't define what he is moving forward. I mean, that doesn't look good for him. We all know that. But that's definitely the worst. Spurgeon hurt in a boot after the game. Not a great thing for him. Not a great thing for the Predators either. So, his hearings this afternoon, we'll see what happens. Just doesn't help this young rookie's case at all.
Yeah, Zach LaRue got kicked out of the game on Tuesday night for slew-footing Jarrett Spurgeon of the Minnesota Wild. He's got a hearing coming up later today, so probably some supplemental discipline coming for LaRue here. We'll see what that looks like and what the ruling ends up being. But probably going to be without Zach LaRue for at least a game or two, maybe longer. As the Predators move forward here, we'll get a little bit more into them specifically coming up here in just a few minutes. My best thing in sports, I am very fascinated and enthralled by the MVP race in the NFL. Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, it's been awesome to watch them two play. And I would throw Joe Burrow in there. I don't know that he's going to have a chance to actually win, but he has played really, really good football this year for the Bengals. And it's not his fault that they're 8-8 with their playoff destiny sort of in doubt heading into last weekend here. We'll see what happens on that front. But Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, it's been awesome. You know, we heard Charles Robinson last week, and I'm going to ask him about this here in a few, here in the next hour when he's on with us, like what he thinks this is going to come down to with those two. But like Lamar's stats are all better than when he's won the two previous MVPs. He's been, I think, just electrifying this year. And Josh Allen, I mean, he's got the Bills locked into the two seed. He's been unbelievable. He's going to start on Sunday to keep his, I guess, consecutive game streak going, and then he's going to get sat pretty shortly after that. But, I mean, in any normal year, I think either one of them would be the clear front runner for MVP, Joe, and both of them having unbelievable years at the same time. It's pretty cool to watch.
Yeah, I wish we could wait until they play in the playoffs, and then that's the winner, you know?
Yeah, absolutely, which they very well could see each other in the playoffs for the right to go play in Kansas City. So we'll see what that looks like a little bit later. Shane Beamer is my worst thing in sports, and I'm good to double down on it. You know, the adult-sized baby actions have been a thing for him for a long time. I'm glad the entire nation got to see it the other night. I'm like, I was looking through Twitter, Joe, and a lot of people who cover college football are just like, man, that Shane Beamer, he likes to whine a lot, doesn't he? I'm like, yes, he does. I don't know if you guys have been paying attention to it, but this is an every game thing for him. This is what he does. And it's why he's the most annoying person in all of college football in my mind. And I'm glad the entire nation got to see it the other night.
Well, I mean, some South Carolina fans are putting this on Bielema. I just want to say that there is another side to this, and they're still behind their guy. Yeah, he did come off very, very whiny. Like, you know, I think some of your dislike for him has been some of his goofy little videos and stuff, right? I mean, there's many faces of
Shane
Beamer.
Deep level of dislike that runs for many different areas for him, yes.
But this was definitely, yeah, it definitely strong on the whiny side of things. without question. I got a few on the text line real quick. Okay. I got some Scataboo. Great call. Keys are on Scataboo and the Sun Devils. That's no question. Cam says, best Tennessee had one of its most complete athletic years in 2024. Worst, why is Andrew Burnett still the coach of the Nashville Predators? Ben from Cumberland City, you know, worst is the national media bias on the SEC and the narrative ESPN pushes. I hope Sankey is crying hard now. I will say, look, there are some people who are too pro SEC, okay, and Feinbaum and all that. But you know, it's not like the entire ESPN. I've seen Heather Dinich argue on behalf of like Indiana. You know what I mean? Like, I think I'm just sick of all of the arguing. It's not completely like ESPN is all. Yes, it's their product, right? But like, some people think that like all they say is the SEC is great. Like, there are different voices. I mean, all they do is argue on that station, right?
I've got to get an honorary worst thing in sports to myself because, Joe, I was sitting there last night and I couldn't really fall asleep. I was wide awake. So what did I do? I pulled out the PFF mock draft simulator on January the 1st.
Ooh.
Realizing that there's almost complete 4 months before, a little bit over 4 months, before the draft actually comes here. And I did mock draft simulators last night for like 30 consecutive minutes. That's what I did.
What'd you come away with?
I came away with a lot of different things. A lot of different things. I mean, there was a Travis Hunter selection for the Titans, Abdul Carter. Thing is, like on the PFF simulator, Shedeur Sanders is like 41 overall. So you got to scroll down before you find him when he's on the Titans part of this. But I did select him a couple times, dude. Interesting scenarios out there.
Wow. That's there we go. We are ready for the draft.
Yeah, I mean, I looked at myself. I was like, "What are you doing?" There's so much draft talk you're about to get into over the next few months, and you're sitting here on the mock draft simulator.
We should do a whole show where we all, you know, do the simulator. I think that could be really fun. Real quick, Joey from Bellevue says, "Is it too soon to say worse will be the attendance Sunday? You can buy tickets for as low as $5 on Vivid Seats. It's going to be freezing with rain. It could be an all-time low. Yeah, this could be."
It's going to be a doozy.
One of the lowest crowds of all time, I would think, right?
Yeah, like it's going to be cold. I think the high in Nashville Sunday is 45, and there's like a 95% chance of precipitation. So could be a lot of fun. I know that people love those jerseys, so maybe that's reason enough for 5 or 6 people to enter the building and go watch that on Sunday. But my goodness,
they look good on TV, too.
They look pretty good on TV. 615-737-1025, our phone number. A lot of people bringing up the Predators and the best and worst things in sports. We're going to get into them coming up next. They've responded after seemingly turning some things around before the Christmas break with 3 consecutive losses in the division here after the break on their road trip. Some numbers that I put together to throw out there that just kind of signal this is what it is for the Predators. So what do you do? What's the path forward from here? What are the next decisions that the Predators are going to have to make? We'll get into some of that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.